Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Hello, my Twisted Lovelies. I'm very sad to announce that after this chapter of Twisted Roots, I will have used up my free upload time on Podbean. So if you are enjoying listening to Twisted Roots and you can donate, please, that would really help out. And then I'll be able to buy a paid subscription to Podbean and be able to finish the book for you. If you can't help personally, but you think someone else might be interested in listening to Twisted Roots or reading Twisted Roots, that all helps. So please share, like, review, spread the word however you can. There's also now a PayPal button on my website. So if you can donate, head to my website, link in the bio for this podcast, and then make a donation there. Thank you so much. And hopefully I will be bringing you the next chapter sometime soon. For now, though, this is chapter 16. Proud woman born from earth and mother's blood, we paint this red and sacred paste onto your pale skin. Beloved woman, we will take you to a tall tree where you'll cradle in the arms of your dead mothers who are coming even now to welcome you home. Carolyn Hillier. As she woke, a tumble of memories splashed their colours and sounds through Layla's head. Her limbs felt heavy, but not in the magic-depleted kind of way she'd come to recognise, but a sad lethargy that dragged at bones and weakened muscle. Each of the trio had gone to bed wrapped in quietness, with the insistence from Lorna that training should start in the morning. Layla and Jacob, too mentally sapped to do anything but concede, shuffled through the motions of breakfast and followed Lorna into the cavern. Jacob sat facing the back wall, trailing his finger in the dark pool and watching blue sparks chase his skin. His silence remained intact, his feelings buried deep, but not bitterly. At least, thought Layla, he was happy to be close to the others. Right, said Lorna, plonking herself down beside the fire and leaving Layla standing in the middle of the cavern. Let's start with doorway, since I know you can already do that. Layla cleared her throat and tried to look confident. The least she could do for Jacob and his family was to make it look like she knew what she was doing. Sure. She closed her eyes and tried to remember what she had done the day before on the cliff and how it had felt to create a doorway. But everything in her head went white, and all that came to mind were imprints of colour in the light. She thought she could hear Jacob breathing and her aunt shifting her weight on the cushion. Come on, she thought. Come on. She spread her fingers in front of her face and tried to imagine a doorway appearing through the world. Tried to want it. Tried to mean it. Nothing happened. She opened her eyes. Lorna's arms were folded, and Layla thought her face looked as though it had been gripped by fishhooks on either side of her mouth that were yanked outward when her aunt attempted to smile. Layla's shoulders slumped. I don't know what I'm doing, she admitted. Lorna nodded and unfolded her arms. She called over her shoulder. Jacob, stay here. We'll be back in a while. She raised an eyebrow at noon. The cat will help you if you should need anything. Just ask. Jacob stuck a thumb upwards and continued drawing blue stars in the water. Time can be spun and wrung out, but never snapped. And there's more than one way to access a spatial location. Doorways can be fixed, hidden, created, or spontaneous. Lorna parted a doorway in front of them and beckoned Layla to follow into the dappled light. The pockmarked earth looked familiar. Hey! This is a hill in the woods beside our house. I thought you could use a simpler starting point than being on someone else's territory. Lorna smiled at her. Oftentimes it's easy to do something without thinking, in the midst of a moment that needs it. But you need to learn to have control, too, to perform magic at will. So, let's try again. Sit. What about the witch? Didn't past me or whatever say she had power during the entire lunar cycle? Isn't this dangerous? She's kept really quiet about it if she is strong enough to act outside of the new moon. And if you can't control your magic, it's a guaranteed win for her. So, sit. The earth had grown warm under the sun's touch. Layla looked out over the valley of trees, which, she knew, sloped gently downward to the road to home. To the left, she glimpsed the church spire and a smattering of gravestones. But for the most part, The village's houses and inhabitants were sheltered by the boughs and creaking limbs of the intervening woods. Forget all about doorways for now. Close your eyes. Layla let her eyes close. She could feel the warmth of the sun on the tops of her knees and her shin bones. Birdsong and scattered laughter broke past the susurrus of the day, but the scene felt surreal, as though she was still back in the lighthouse and merely dreaming of home. Clear your mind. Let your focus come onto your breath. Layla tried to clear her head, but thoughts of the witch and Sam and her mum and Jake kept swirling around. You need your mind to be completely focused, Layla. If not, the path to the doorway will be muddied. Take a moment. Breathe. Layla breathed. She concentrated on the sound it made as the air rushed in and out through her nostrils. And after a while, she noticed it slow. She noted her mind was wandering less and her muscles seemed relaxed. Now, find the world around you, the stuff that holds it together. It crisscrosses its threads everywhere like a lattice of spider webs. Pick a small point in that web and focus on it. Layla felt out in front of her, trying to pick out what Lorna was talking about. Something winged buzzed past, taking with it Layla's concentration. She brought her mind back to task. Then, as though layered underneath the air and sounds of the day, something emerged. At first, it was subtle. And then all of a sudden it was everywhere. Everything. A tightly woven mesh of thin strand cobwebs slunk around reality. It held the shapes of hills, trees, sound, vibrations, Lorna, everything. That's good. Layla heard the smile in Lorna's voice. Now, choose a spot to focus on. Layla selected a spot in front of her at eye level and fixed her attention on it. Good. Now, split your focus. Keep it trained on the patch in front of you and think of a particular point in your garden. Make the image clear. Let it settle behind the fabric in front of you. Use your hands. Pick it open. Like you're drawing curtains apart or making a hole in a cardigan. As the hole gets bigger, you'll start to see the garden. Don't stop until the doorway is solid. Layla's fingertips snagged on something barely tangible. She pressed into its edges, feeling them thicken and solidify under her touch. And she pulled. Through the gap in the threads, she saw the oak tree. She felt her hands tremble with the effort, but she kept going until the whole trunk could be seen. Her whole body was buzzing. She could hear her father whistling a tune somewhere nearby and strained her head to see if she could see him. But then pain shot through her arms and her aunt was screaming at her to get back. Layla opened her eyes. A churning mass of grey and black streamed from her hands with brutal anguish. She felt it rip and tear at her body, its force sucking her toward it. Close it! Layla tried to bring the threads back together, but it was too strong. She could hear her aunt screaming. She could feel the world, the whole planet, vibrating and buzzing and burning. Every creature and every stone cried out to her, grappling to grasp her as they drowned in the flux. She squeezed her eyes tightly shut and scrabbled at the drifting threads with her hands, pressing seams inward and dragging them over the churning rift. And then a shrieking, searing pain in her hands and the tumult subsided. Her body collapsed. Her mind, for an instant, hung its focus in the hidden workings of the world and then lurched to the ground with her, back into her bones, the exhaustion and the pain. Over the agony, Layla could hear birdsong again. She opened her eyes. Lorna sat on the grass, ashen. Layla tried to raise her head, but its weight was too much. What happened? Layla gasped. Her hands felt as though they were on fire, but she couldn't bring them up to her face to see. Her aunt was tight-lipped, and her speech clipped, as though she were looking for a way that her anger could not rush out with the words. That was the gap between the fabrics of the worlds, the unseen that makes the scene. It's everywhere and, for the most part, harmless. But when you're trying to open up a doorway, you have to be certain. There can be no doubt, no fear, no distraction. She crawled over the ground and squatted next to Layla to examine her hands. She was not gentle. What we're doing here is dangerous, Layla. It's not some trick you can show your friends or use to bunk off school. This is the very framework of the universe that you're screwing with. There's no room for mistakes. Lorna tutted and dropped Layla's hands. I can't do anything with this. We'll have to go back. You can't train like this. Useless. Layla saw her aunt's frustration and felt her own nerves prickle in retaliation. She fought the heavy feeling in her body and dragged herself up until she was sitting. The effort sent her slumping forward over her legs. She looked down and saw swirls of grey burned into the flesh of her palm. The pain was raw and maddeningly urgent. It'll heal in time, but it's a temporal scar. They don't disappear and the pain will linger. Layla thought she detected satisfaction. She rolled her head until she could watch the clouds scud their shade over the spire and treetops. She thought of Sam and Jacob's dad and the dead woman at the carnival, and of all the people she knew in the village who would lose their lives if she did nothing. There was so much riding on this. Fuck. Again. Her aunt snorted. Layla, you need to heal. You can't do anything like this. I can do it, Layla growled. It took everything she had, staggering to her feet, but she made it. Again, she said. They kept on until dusk brought thin, chilling air that made the bare skin of Layla's forearms rise in bumps like the plucked flesh of a bird. Hunger gnawed at her stomach, and the exhaustion rose like waves over her. But she kept on. Blinking lights dotted the scene below, and she wondered if an evening like this had once preceded the witch's attack on the villagers. Them making their plans for the next day before retiring to bed, only to find death sometime in the night, cruelly and violently. She imagined the mist hung heavy and low like cloud around the ankles of the village, and the curiosity that it would first inspire, changing to terror as the months wore on, as the link between the mist and death became obvious. She'd held a doorway, coin-sized but solid, by the time the day drew to a close. But the success felt hollow, and she trusted neither her magic nor her ability to wield it. The north wind shook the glass of the lantern room, and Layla tightened her grip on her shins, hugging herself further into her cocoon of skin and darkness. She felt tired. Her efforts from the previous days dragged at her bones, making her lungs pull at each heavy breath, and the thought of doing anything but lie there impossible. The room shuddered as another gust swept itself over the conical, throwing sea-spat droplets that held their origin miles across oceans against the glass. Layla watched them bulge into globules which, once their weight became too much, dribbled warily. Another heavy splotch had formed and begun to trickle when Layla heard footsteps. Jacob's reflection brought a pallid yellow to the glass and its raindrops in front of her. She wanted to turn around and face her friend, but the guilt was too much. My family is the reason your dad is dead. The reason you'll never hold the boy you loved in secret. She stayed on her side, eyes on raindrops. Behind her, Jacob cleared his throat. Layla? She held her breath and then eked it out slowly past her pounding heart, hoping that it would look as though she was sleeping. She felt his weight sink softly onto the bed and a hand reach out and hover above her arm before being retracted. Hey, Lay, I just wanted to say, I don't blame you. She heard him suck in a breath and bit her lip to keep from crying. My dad, he wasn't well for a long time. You know that. Neither of them has been, really. And you've helped me through all of that? It's not your fault. She stayed silent, not knowing what to say. Jacob's voice wavered. I'm sorry for what I did. Jake, you don't have to apologise. Layla turned over and grabbed him, burying her face into his neck. I'm so sorry all of this is happening. It's not your fault, he said again. She saw the seriousness in his face, the honesty. That face and its inability to conceal anything from her made him her most trusted friend. This is mad, he began. I can barely believe it either, and I have no idea how I can help you, but I will. I'll follow you to the ends of the world if I have to. The witch can't get away with this. Emotions and words surfaced and dragged others down. In the end, Layla nodded and said, thank you, and hugged him again. Good. Now let's work out how we're going to get this witch. Sharp jabs dug into her ribcage, and soon they had fallen from the bed and were fighting to tickle the other amidst breath-snatching laughter. It went on until Jacob begged for her to stop. "Okay, okay," she giggled, rolling off him. She rested her head against the mattress, and the smile slipped from her face. "I'm so tired, Jake." She knew her eyes were hungry when she looked at him. He crouched next to her, and she huddled under his arm, enjoying the feeling of warmth and the smell of his t-shirt. "I know. And I don't know what I'm doing at all." He gave her shoulder a squeeze. "Most people don't, Leigh. But you have me. And I'll always help you. Any way I can." Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at twisted_roots_agparker or a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles, and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.